Your guest speaker for today is John Grubb.
We are discussing misconceptions of the church Jesus built. Today we're going to begin by discussing the origin of denominations. From where did denominations come? The church that Jesus established began on the first Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. It was hundreds of years before there were any denominations. For example, the Roman Catholic Church in A.D. 606. And then Lutheran churches began in A.D. 1517. The Presbyterian Church in A.D. 1536. The Baptist Church in A.D. 1607. The Mormon Church in 1830. You do not read about any of these churches in the New Testament. Why is that? Because the New Testament was written and finished long before any of these churches came into existence. You need either more or less than the Bible to establish a denomination. If you have more than what the Bible teaches, then it cannot be the church Jesus built. If you have less than what the Bible teaches, it cannot be the church that Jesus built. If you've changed it in any way, it cannot be the church Jesus built. And to have a denomination, you have to add to, take away from, or change one or all three of these things must be present. We do not have the authority to add to or take away from the Word of God. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. And this principle of adding to and taking away is recorded throughout the Bible. Also, we are not to change God's Word in any way. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul writes, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. This word pervert means to change the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. We are not to add to, take away, or change God's Word in any way. If you would throw away the creed books that have been written to bring man-made churches into existence, you would destroy the basis for denominationalism. You see, Jesus did not promise to establish a denomination. Matthew 16, 18, And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my denominations. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus did not build denominations. Man-made churches denominations will not save us. In fact, the Bible says they will be destroyed. Matthew 15, verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Please remember, denominations are man-made churches. And they came into existence hundreds and even thousands of years after Jesus built His church. How then can we identify the Lord's church? How do we find the church, the one church that Jesus built? We find that one church by the characteristics of the church. We understand that characteristics are important in identifying anything. We identify people by characteristics, by their hair color, their eye color, by their fingerprints, by their ID card, by their DNA. We identify automobiles by the color, the year, the company that made the car, by the license tag on the back of the car. We identify money by its characteristics. In the United States, we look at the number on the particular bill because in the United States, all the bills are the same color and the same size. But in some other countries, money is different sizes, different colors, with, of course, different numbers. And so we identify money by the numbers, or in some cases, just by looking at the color of the particular bill that is in our possession. And so we identify people and things by characteristics. And we identify the church by its characteristics. For example, when did the church Jesus build begin? The time was about A.D. 30, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, in the first century. Not 606, not 1517, not 1607, not 1830, but about A.D. 30, almost 2,000 years ago. Where did the church begin, built by Jesus? It began in Jerusalem, that is, in Israel, in the Middle East, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. It did not begin in Rome, or in Germany, or in Europe, or in England, or in China, or in the United States. It began in Jerusalem, in Israel, in the Middle East. What name does the church Jesus built wear? Churches of Christ, Romans 16 and verse 16. Also, Church of God is used in the New Testament to refer to the one church Jesus built. Romans 16, 16, the churches of Christ greet you. Churches here referring to the different congregations around the world. Also in Acts 20, 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. The church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Who purchased the church using His own blood? Jesus. So the church of God here is referring to that one church Jesus built. Built at the right time, in the right place, wearing a Bible name. Also, the church Jesus built has the right founder and foundation. Jesus Christ is the only foundation and the only founder of His church. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the passage in Matthew 16 and verse 18. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus is the only founder and the only foundation of His church. The church Jesus built has the right organization. A church that does not have earthly headquarters. Christ is the only head of His church, and He's in heaven. And that's where the headquarters of His church is. It's in heaven. And then congregations, independent, self-ruling groups of Christians overseen by two or more elders, as set forth in Acts 14:23 and Acts chapter 20. In Acts 14:23, when they had appointed elders in every church, the word elder is in the plural, elders in every church, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And then Paul met with the Ephesian elders. It says he called for the elders of the church, Acts 20 and verse 17. Not elder, singular, but elders, plural. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, two or more elders overseeing congregations of Christ. And then Paul says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, plural, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. The church Jesus built worships God in spirit and in truth, John 4 and verse 24. What does that mean? That means we worship the right object with the right frame of mind, the right attitude, in the right manner. That means that we sing in our worship without the use of instrumental music, because there's no authority in the New Testament for using instruments of music in worship to God. We partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, taking the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine as commanded by the New Testament. Every first day of the week, we also make a contribution of money to support the work of the church in preaching the gospel around the world. When we come together, we teach God's Word so that people can better understand His will. And the church gathers to pray, thanking God for the things that He has given us, asking Him for help as we strive to live our lives for Him. Yes, the church Jesus built began in the first century, about AD 30, in Jerusalem. It wears the proper name, Churches of Christ, Church of God, the church which He purchased with His own blood. It has the right founder and foundation, the right organization, the right way of worship. It also teaches the correct way to be saved, because God has a plan to save everybody from their sins, but it must be according to the New Testament, hearing the gospel, believing it with all of our heart, repenting of our every sin, confessing our faith in Christ, and then being immersed in water, we have the privilege of having our sins washed away and being added to the church Jesus built. If a church does not have all of these characteristics, not just some, then that church is not the church established in the first century. When we find a church that has every one of these characteristics exactly like the New Testament teaches, then we have found the church Jesus promised to build. And so we've noted the fact that the church is not a denomination. We've also noted that the origin of denominations, man-made churches, have continued through the centuries, so that now, in our day and time, there are thousands of denominations that exist. But these denominations do not exist with the authority of Christ, because they came from man and not from God. And there are many people in the world who have a wrong idea concerning Christ and His church. And confusion is added to our world because there are so many different churches with different names and different doctrines and different practices that are contrary to the New Testament. And so part of the purpose of this series of lessons is to help everyone to better understand the church Jesus built. Yes, salvation is in Christ and in His church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How do we access the spiritual blessings that are available to people? We have to be in Christ. How do we get into Christ? We just talked about that. By believing the gospel, by repenting of our sins, by confessing our faith in Christ, and then by being immersed into Christ, we are baptized into Christ. And then in Christ, we have all spiritual blessings. Is it important that we are in Christ? Is it important that we are in the body, the church? Ephesians 5 and verse 23 says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. That means the saved are in the body, according to Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Is it important to be in the body of Christ? It is. Because salvation is in Christ, it is in His body. That means that outside of Christ, outside of His body, there is no salvation. Which also means there is no salvation in denominations. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, "That at that time you were without Christ," that is, outside of Christ, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Ephesians 2 and verse 12. Think about it. Paul is talking to Gentiles. Of course, the Law of Moses was never given to the Gentiles. It was given to the Jews. And so God had a covenant relationship with the Jews through the law of Moses. But the Gentiles were outside of that relationship. They were aliens. They were not citizens of the commonwealth of Israel. But now, in Christ, both Jew and Gentile can have salvation in Christ, in His body, in His church. Yes, you can go to heaven without ever being part of a denomination. You cannot go to heaven without being in the Lord's church. Therefore, the Lord's church and denominations are not the same. We talked about in this lesson the fact that Christ wants everyone to be united, to be in the one body. And there have been many efforts through the years to try to get different religious groups to come together and to talk about ways that we can be united religiously. I remember one story about a group of religious leaders in a community that came together for that very purpose. They were going to talk about what they could do to be united so that they would not be divided religiously in their community. And so one religious leader would talk about some aspect of their doctrine, and another religious leader would mention something else, and they weren't making any progress. Well, there was a gospel preacher in the midst of this meeting, and he began to try to help everyone to see what is involved in true unity. And so he picked up the Catholic Catechism and he said, "All right." He said, "Who will agree that we will use this book as our authority in religion?" Well, of course, the Catholic representative raised his hand, but nobody else would. So he said, "Well, we'll have to set that aside. We can't use it because we cannot agree on that." Then he went to the Methodist Discipline and he held that book up and he said, "Now, who will agree that we will use this book as our standard of authority in religion?" And of course, the Methodist representative raised his hand, but nobody else did. And so he said, "Well, we cannot use this book either." Then he went around to the different disciplines and doctrines and books and creeds that caused these different religious groups to exist and held up their creed book or their discipline or their doctrine. And each time, they could not agree. Finally, he picked up the Bible and he said, "All right," he said, "how many will agree that we'll go by the Bible and the Bible only as our authority in religion?" Well, that caused people to think. In fact, it made them think so hard that they decided that they would dismiss the meeting rather than give up their creed books, their disciplines, and their catechisms and accept the Word of God. We need to decide to become a part of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus built, by obeying the gospel right now. If you're not a Christian, you need to make up your mind that you want to obey the gospel in hearing the gospel, believing the gospel message, repenting of your sins, that is, changing your mind in regard to sin, willing to confess your faith in Christ, and then being immersed in water so that you can be added to the Lord's church. And then you can begin meeting with the Lord's church in your community, so that you have access to all spiritual blessings in Christ. Or it may be the church does not exist where you live. And so we can help you to begin the church in your community so that the church Jesus built will exist where you live and you can be part of that one church. Oh yes. People have wrong ideas about the church Jesus built. They misunderstand what the Bible has to say concerning His church. But the church Jesus built is not a denomination. It is not a man-made church. It is not divided into thousands of different groups. It is His one church that He promised to build and that He built almost 2,000 years ago. Why not be a member of His church today?